Locals on Christmas Island say the reopening of its detention centre could deliver a much-needed boost to the island's economy. The centre's poised to house sick asylum seekers transferred from Manus Island or Nauru under laws the Coalition unsuccessfully fought against in Parliament. But some Christmas Islanders are unimpressed with the Prime Minister Scott Morrison's whirlwind tour of the Indian Ocean Territory this week, accusing him of staging a pre-election publicity stunt. From Christmas Island, Eliza Borello filed this report.
Covered in thick jungle and geographically closer to Indonesia than Australia, the small Indian Ocean Territory of Christmas Island had never before been visited by a sitting Australian Prime Minister. But Scott Morrison's whirlwind tour of the island this week has left some locals less than impressed.
It was short. I believe that he visited the school as well as the detention centre. I think it would have been very appropriate for him to have a little closer look at the island.
They don't come here for us. They only come for what they want to do.
It's got to be some sort of publicity stunt.
Roxanne Wilson, a museum attendant, says Scott Morrison's detention centre media blitz was certainly no ad for the island.
I'm just concerned that any tourists on the island or would like to come to the island are thinking it's a detention island. And I would just like them to see the beauty of the island. We get bird watchers coming here quite regularly. The island has endemic bird life that is not found anywhere else in the world.
On a footpath on one of the island's main streets, someone has painted an ugly message in block capitals. It reads, "Serco, go home." Serco is the company contracted to run the centre. Locals like small businessman Troy Watson see the facilities reopening as a mixed blessing, potentially offering work.
The economy on Christmas Island has been low for a good 12 months now. All local businesses, including our own, have certainly suffered.
But he and his wife Vicky fear it could also encourage risky boat trips.
Now that they're basically saying it's open, I wouldn't mind betting that, you know, they've already started to try and accommodate people on the boats.
Vicky and Troy Watson were on the island the day the boat, which became known as Civ 221, crashed onto its rocky shore. 50 asylum seekers lost their lives. John Richardson was the vice commander of Christmas Island's volunteer marine rescue. It's raining heavily when we meet him, not far from where the crash happened.
Our first involvement was at 10 to 6 in the morning. We were actually asleep 200 metres from where we are now. We heard the people in the boat screaming, sort of synchronised screaming, if you like, because there was people everywhere in the water.
Otman Dardak, who's lived on the island for decades, says it's a day he'll never forget either.
First thing I saw was this boat coming through with a lot of passengers, with ladies, a lot of ladies and men and babies as well, and young kids. And they were screaming. They're screaming for help. And there's a lot of people around here who try to help, but there's nothing we can do.
He's critical of the way both sides of politics have handled the asylum seeker issue.
It's every government will do anything just to get elected again.
The detention centre has been reopened because the government says it plans to send asylum seekers granted medical transfers from Nauru or Manus Island there. Otman Dardak says if that happens, it's crucial the asylum seekers get their own doctors, saying their presence has previously stretched the island's limited medical resources.
A lot of us have already made their appointment and suddenly they cancel our appointment just and didn't even explain what happened. And then we found out because there were asylum seekers there.
As we left Christmas Island, a familiar sight appeared on the horizon, the patrol boat HMAS Glenelg, prompting many questions but eliciting few official answers.
Eliza Borello reporting there from Christmas Island.